The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
For NBC 5 News, I'm Natalie Serna.
Diner 62 quiz. We're going to have that coming up maybe about a half hour, maybe a little bit more than a half hour in the final open phone segments of the show, just so you know. So we have that coming up. And Richard Emmons will join me in a few minutes as soon as we get on the phone with him. And we're going to talk more about that homelessness listening session in Grants Pass the other day. Dennis is here. Dennis, you wanted to talk about that story I just mentioned briefly early this morning, that the state legislature may be looking at the people who are buying lottery tickets at a discount. Like someone wins $1,000 and they'll give them $600 cash, but then people who owe money, like child support and debts and things like that, they escape having their income attached for such things. And what were you thinking about that? Go ahead.
Hey, Bill, I just wanted to let you know, if you're a Columbo fan, there's an episode called Death Hits the Jackpot.
Uh-huh.
And it's exactly that. A guy wins, he wins lottery, and he was on the verge of a divorce with his wife, and he doesn't want her to get the money. So he arranged for his uncle to cash in the ticket. And the tables turned, and the guy who won the lottery, I don't want to give it all away, but it's a worthy episode to watch, and it's got a great twist at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And as Columbo always says, you know, when he's talking to the suspect, they say, well, I want to help you get this guy. And he says, don't worry, you'll be the first one to know.
I guess so. What do you think, though, about the legislature wanting to weigh in on that? Do you think that would be a worthy use of lawmakers' time, you know, to be concerned that people are selling off and winning lottery tickets to people for cash so that way, you know, they don't have to pay child support and debts, things like that?
Well, you know, it's like everything else. They're just trying to get some money and get in people's pockets. But, yeah, you know, it's certainly against the law, I'm sure. But the thing is that they've got much bigger fish to fry, and they need to get out their big frying pan and take care of business.
Fair enough. Appreciate the call there, Dennis. And let me go to Todd in Central Point. Todd, you wanted to weigh in on concur with what Matt was saying about Florida, his experience there. It was interesting, I thought.
Absolutely. And, oh, by the way, Outdoor Report, 60 degrees and windy in Gold Beach.
Oh, Gold Beach. Good. All right.
But the place to be. So I was there last January visiting family, and I did a 10-day loop through the state, and I spent most of my time in southern Florida. But I hit all the major cities, St. Petersburg, Fort Myers, the Keys, Miami, came up the, you know, St. Augustine. And I spent quite a bit of time in the Miami-Hollywood area, the largest city in Florida. And I'd always heard it was kind of edgy, and you think about, you know, Miami Vice and all that stuff.
Right.
I was there in rush hour traffic on a Friday going, you know, 3 miles an hour through the city. I didn't see one homeless person. I looked down the railroad tracks, not one tent, no garbage, no tagging, nothing like that. And I think in the whole trip I was there, I saw maybe 10 homeless people, but no camps, no campgrounds or you know, hovels or tents.
So they didn't turn the beaches or the public parks over to the homeless.
They didn't do that. And there's two key reasons. They don't live under the Ninth Circuit Court, and they never legalized hard drugs there. So it's not like they didn't have social services. If you were down and out or if you were starving, they still had food stamps and they still had, you know, Salvation Army and gospel missions and that sort of thing. But they didn't legalize crime, and that's what did it. And I also remember when Cherise, she's so cute, from No Wires, called up out of the blue. She didn't even go into her advertisement. She just said, hey, I just got back from Florida, and there are no homeless people.
In other words, legislation, politicians, you know, and policy has an effect. It really does. Whatever you choose to encourage or not choose to punish, you're going to get more of it, period.
Absolutely, and it's not some fascistic state either. So it's, you know, it can be done, and if you don't believe it, go there like your daughter, see it with your own eyes, and I'd like to hear a report from your daughter sometime.
Yeah, that could be fun. I'll get back to you on that one. Thank you, Todd.
Bye-bye.
All right, Richard Emmons joins me here in a matter of seconds.
This hour of the Bill Myers Show is brought to you by Johnson Builders, Southern Oregon's leading authority in post-frame and steel buildings for over 20 years.
We've long heard predictions that the robots were coming to take away human jobs. But for fast food workers, that threat is now a reality. I'm Kim Commando for LinkedIn Jobs. Post a job for free and find qualified candidates quickly at LinkedIn.com/Kim. It was about 15 years ago that fast food workers everywhere were threatening to strike for higher wages. They marched, chanted, and demanded. But no one took them seriously because unskilled workers are easily replaced. Still, over time, wages did go up, and fast food prices are now up 100 to 200% in just a decade. So to hold prices down, fast food has turned to machines with names like Flippy, Chippy, and you'll like this one, Autocado. Flippy loads and flips burgers. Chippy makes fresh tortilla chips. And Autocado peels, chops, and mixes avocados, of course. The initial investment is high, but customers love watching the machines work. And you're never going to see Flippy and his friends walking a picket line. Get tech smart the easy way with my free newsletter at getkim.com. When hiring for a small business, you want quality professionals who are right for the role and your team. That's why I use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the tools to find the right people for your team faster and for free. LinkedIn is not just another job board. You get access to LinkedIn's vast network of more than a billion professionals, many of whom you won't find anywhere else. That's why it's simply the best place to hire. LinkedIn does all that while making the process simple and intuitive. Hiring is easy when you have that many quality candidates. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. LinkedIn knows that as a small business, you might not have the time or resources to spend on hiring. That's why LinkedIn is constantly finding ways to make it simpler, like the new feature to help write job descriptions. Post your job for free at LinkedIn.com/Kim. That's LinkedIn.com/Kim to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. That's LinkedIn.com/Kim.
Hear KMED in Grants Pass on 105.9 K290 AF Rogue River in South Jackson County on 106.7 K294 AS Ashland.
8:20, and Richard Emmons joins me. He's the publisher and editor of the Oregon Eagle, OregonEagle.com. And, of course, we've talked with him about homelessness issues because you're also on the board of the Gospel Rescue Mission in Joe County. And, Richard, welcome back because, boy, I'll tell you, it was a hot and bothered conversation Wednesday night in city council chambers when people came by for a listening session, right? That's a story.
Yeah, that was definitely the story. You know, sometimes you can kind of read the temperature of the room when you go to a public event as opposed to watching it online or, you know, on YouTube. And this was one of those events because the people came in and in general, they were really hot and tired and bothered. And they're tired of the excuses. They're tired of waiting for the city to take action because and it's really simple. They want the parks back for families. And that's really how they're measuring success.
It seems that and I was kind of surprised that Aaron Kubik, the city manager, and I think there were some other people discussing this, seemed to be more concerned, and maybe this is just the way it is, that there seemed to be a reticence about trying to get muscular in the city's response to the homeless community. Would that be a fair assessment of what I was kind of detecting from the coverage of this event?
Yeah. I mean, it's... Yeah, and that's what he said. I mean, he just says that if something were to happen in the city, there'd be responsibility if the city tells them where to go. And he contrasted that with an open recreational immunity that you have in a general park. But the reality is that the parks aren't set up for overnight camping, mm-hmm. right? And all the injunction, it's to allow them to sleep. I mean, you know, that was the big thing that, you know, the city of Grants Pass was making sleeping in the parks illegal. But it's not, you know, that's not the main issues. It's the camping when they set up and they're literally setting up camp. And then the rampant drug use and abuse that is going on in the city parks. I mean, so the idea that there's responsibility and ownership on the city's park. I mean, you know, by essentially saying, well, if we limit them to one park or to three parks, but they can do that. They've already done that. Even under the injunction that was negotiated with the city, you know, Reinert Park, which is better known as All Sports Park, that was not included in the federal injunction. So they negotiated to save that park because of all the athletic facilities, and that's where families go and, mm-hmm. and, you know, other individuals for sporting events and leagues and so forth. So they said, well, we can't have the homeless sleep in that one and camp in that one. But they did allow it in all the other ones. So it is negotiable. You know, sort of like Trump would say, you know, the art of the deal. They need to strike a better deal and not be so one-sided where the homeless, especially the drug users, they're able to go wherever they want. And the families just feel threatened. I mean, the comments, you know, even if I were to quote them and print them in the newspaper or in an email, it doesn't have the same sense that, you know, as an example, you know, there are members of GP Park Watch. This is a local group of citizens that go around from park to park every day.
And yeah, well, they see the disorder up close and personal every evening, right, as they report this.
They see it every evening, every day. They, you know, one of them, surprisingly, there was a woman there. She's in her 80s that's a member of Park Watch, and she's somebody that goes to the playgrounds, you know, where they have a Little League and so forth to help clean up the needles so that the sports teams will go to the parks to play their games and hold their practices. I mean, and she can't take her grandchildren there, and she's trying to make it a better place. She hopes it's better for her great-grandchildren someday, but it's, you know, that's the people have been, since the homeless lawsuit was filed in 2018, and obviously the city is put in a very difficult position.
Sure.
It's uncharted waters. It's a homeless class action lawsuit. And, you know, so they were put under a federal injunction. And then, we've had to wait for the Ninth Circuit appeal, then the en banc appeal, and then to wait to see if the Supreme Court accepted our appeal.
And I remember people were criticizing the city of Grants Pass during the appeal, right? Remember that? Like wasting money.
Absolutely. So it is a big win for the city. It's not as big of a win as it is for the other 49 states, especially the other states in the Ninth Circuit, like Los Angeles and San Francisco, because we have certain laws in Oregon that sort of codified the federal injunction and codified, you know, the Boise decision.
And that is being discussed quite openly about repealing 30. I think it's House Bill 3115. If I recall correctly.
That's right.
Yeah.
There are two bills. And yeah, you know, one of the bills increased from 24 hours to 72 hours. So the minimum time that notice is 3 days.
Yeah. So you have to have then 72 hours of disorder in a park before you can really do something about them. Every person that you would notify, 3 days is a big deal. Hey, Richard, now here it is. You're the editor publisher of the Oregon Eagle, OregonEagle.com. Just want to make sure I mention that because another great where actually journalism gets practiced, and I appreciate people who practice journalism. All right. I'm asking for analysis in this particular case. Are we dealing with a city government that truly wants to attack the homeless problem, or are we dealing with a city government that may be involved in a, and I'm just going to kind of spitball on this one, a bit of analysis paralysis, because they being the Grants Pass city government and the administrators have just been clubbed like baby seals, to use that term of art, you know, for a number of years over this, and just afraid to really do anything, even though the people are about ready to set it all on fire over this. How do you see this? What's going on?
Well, you know, this is my analysis on this. You look at the city council and the mayor, and they're split. I mean, it's, you know, there's, you could call it red, blue, or conservative, liberal. There are those that would see this as an opportunity to create, you know, city-owned and run shelters, navigation centers, and so forth, that might be funded by state money, but then, you know, that money dries up and it becomes the responsibility of the local citizens. But it's creating that, you know, a little bit more, you know, enabling the drug use, enabling the camping. You know, as Matt said earlier, in Florida, they don't have this homeless. They have nice weather in Florida. We have nice weather on the West Coast and in Southern Oregon. So that's part of it, why people are homeless here. But, you know, it's bigger, in fact, you know, with the drug use. So there's a certain amount of fear. And this is me general. of not just the city of Grants Pass, but the fear of litigation.
Okay, that's the being clubbed like a baby seal thing, okay? You know, don't hit me anymore, right? That kind of thing.
Correct. And, you know, and one of the speakers Wednesday night said, well, maybe there needs to be a lawsuit about child endangerment, you know, against the city, that maybe that would get them to take things a little more seriously. I think that there's a certain things that they can do, and especially now that the Supreme Court has said that it's not cruel and unusual punishment, you know, to enforce ordinances in the park. One of the speakers, who's one of the leaders of Park Watch in Grants Pass, said that the June 21st, 2023 ordinances regarding time, place, and manner are not being enforced. I mean, that was his claim, and that would be something that the city should investigate and decide, like, well, are they being enforced? Because that limited it to, say, 64 square foot. So you could have a tarp that's 8 feet by 8 feet. That's all you get. And you can't, you know, have the litter, and you can't use, I believe they can't allow open drug use. I'm not sure about that. But that's where they should start, is seeing that the current ordinances are being enforced. Because part of this listening session was to get information on creating a new plan, you know, that they want to get out in the next couple of weeks regarding time, place, and manner. But they should be enforcing it. I think that they should unshackle the police, to be able to do more. If the state law, you know, doesn't restrict it as far as how long they can be in the, you know, is it like 7 p.m. to 9 a.m. now? Make it 7 a.m., you know, or make it 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. as a suggestion. So, because if they're camping, then people that want to use the parks, and again, there are people that testified, there wasn't a hearing, but they're speaking from their hearts that they live right next to a park. They like to get up, and they like to take walks every morning through the park. They've done it for many years, and now they can't do that. So 7 a.m. to fold up your tent, and I know it might sound harsh, but again, the problem is that they've taken over the parks, and the complaints about people getting yelled at by the homeless and so forth, that's a reality. So they need to, you know, they need to do something about that. You know, in Grants Pass, we have the Grants Pass Sobering Center, and that was set up to allow people that were inebriated to have the police drop them off. It's not the jail, so it's kind of a low barrier, overnight holding facility.
How many people can be kept there, Richard? Do you know?
I think it's roughly a dozen.
Okay.
A dozen. And maybe that could be utilized more. Ironically, it's located on the same property that the Gospel Rescue Mission had its community recycling center. So we worked with people in the community that wanted to create a sobering center. And, you know, at the mission, it's all voluntary. The residents volunteer to be there. And the idea of a sobering center, it's a 24-hour lockup, but they literally remodeled the community recycling center and turned it into the sobering center, and did it at about 25 cents on the dollar if it had been built by the city or the county using all the red tape. So that's a whole other story. But that's another thing, that if there are people that are inebriated, they could be taken to the sobering center. And if they're on drugs, you know, they could lock them up for that 24 hours and just give them a little time to think. But that would get them out of the park.
Yeah.
You know, there are things that can be done. I mean, I used to be involved in an organization that's still around, Concerned Fathers Against Crime, and it was located in Grants Pass. I did it for 15 years, but every 8 weeks I would go out with another guy in our car, and we'd go out from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m., and we would drive around, and we were the eyes and the ears for the police and the sheriff. And if we saw something, we would call it in, and then, you know, a police car both sheriff's deputies, depending on where it was, normally GP police, mm-hmm. they'd go and they'd check it out. Because, like, for instance, if you drove by a car dealership, you know, at midnight, and there's somebody in the parking lot,
They don't belong there. Yeah.
So that was a force multiplier for the GP police department, and maybe that and GP Park Watch, they could do something similar, because now you don't have to go out in the middle of the night to see, you know, crime going on. It's in the parks during the day.
Richard, before we take off here, and I appreciate you sharing a few things, is there surplus property in Grants Pass that could be used for the tent city, if you want to call it that? Because not to put words in people's mouths, but if I were a taxpayer in the city of Grants Pass, I don't see any reason why absolutely any park needs to be used for homelessness services. None. Because people are paying good money on their parks and utility fees in order to support that. But that's for the people to be used, you know, in peaceful fashion, which is not what's happening with the homelessness community. So if the city of Grants Pass wants to provide something, doesn't have the budget for a full-blown shelter, all right, do you have, you know, 4 or 5 acres? Would you just say, nope, here is the area. This is the area where if you are homeless that you are allowed to sleep? Fine. Is there property available?
Based on what people said Wednesday night, there is. It's, you know, they have property. Even it could be set up temporarily. It's a temporary camp. We're not talking about setting up Disneyland or something where it's all permanent. You know, mm-hmm. it's not like that at all. So, but they can do that. In fact, the poll they did Wednesday night, I mean, again, they don't put options up there like to use city-owned property as an alternative to the park. You know, that's something that could be a question on the November ballot. If they want to get, you know, sense what the people want, it would be a much more scientific poll is to ask the voters of Grants Pass, you know, do you want to use city-owned property for a homeless campground and let people vote yes or no, especially in lieu of the parks. I just think that's where they could put the porta potties and so mm-hmm. forth.
Sure.
That's where the nonprofits would be allowed to go in. So if people want to get the free sleeping bags and the free needles and everything else, they would go to that designated area.
Yeah, and the moment you start setting up a tent in any of the parks, boom, you're moved out by Grants Pass Police. Nope, that's no parking, no camping allowed here, no nothing. You can go over here, you can sleep, you can defecate in the porta potty, whatever the case might be, but you're not doing it here. They can do that now, can they not?
Absolutely, absolutely.
All right.
They can at least try it. I mean, think of it this way. We have these laws at the state level that need to be changed. I see that.
Yeah.
But Oregon, you know, we have a history of not waiting for the higher level to change the laws. We legalized medical marijuana, recreational marijuana.
Oh, we had no problem going against federal law. There's no reason why Grants Pass couldn't get muscular and say, all right, hey, we have to take care of health, safety, welfare in the community. We're going to push back against this state law, 3115. Come get us if you really want to. Okay. And I'll tell you, the people would end up setting the people or coming after the city, set them on fire, you know, not literally, but
absolutely.
You know what I'm getting at?
Especially when there's a drug overdose, you know, during a Little League game, and they literally have to have people lining up to try to shield the body being carried out so that the kids don't see it. But they know what goes on. They're not.
That's stupid.
They know what's going on. If you got 6 or 10 police cars showing up, it's, you know, but they could do, in my opinion, they should investigate what it would take to declare a state of emergency, do the homelessness and the drug users in the parks, determine how that could be done, and then have that trigger, and then declare the state of emergency, and then take this action.
I would say if the city of Grants Pass and any other city here in Southern Oregon is truly serious, that's where it needs to go. And there needs to be pushback against the codification of the Boise decision, which has been declared unconstitutional. We don't have to go there, okay? Richard Emmons, thank you for the take on this. And Richard Emmons is the publisher and editor of the Oregon Eagle, OregonEagle.com. Thank you very much. Good take, all right?
Thanks, Bill.
All right.
Great to be on the show.
It's 8:38. Wow, a lot of meaty stuff there. It's 770-5633, the number here. And the reason I'm going to give out that number right now is because we're going to do the Diner 62 Real American Quiz. I promise we would do that. And jump on it, okay? 770-5633, 770-KMED. If you have not won this in the last 60 days, you could win it next. And we're going to have a lot of fun with it, okay?
Well, you know, it's Orly Stoven's Fuzz. We both recommend.
Now I told you where, let us tell you why. You ought to stop and see our friend.
Hey, Lamont here. It's time to spring into summer with a new splash-around pool from Orly's. Don't get caught high and dry this summer. Come into Orly's now and purchase your new pool before they are all gone. Splash-around pools are easy to assemble on most any level surface, and they can be assembled in about an hour with no tools required. Whether it's a spa, swim spa, or above-ground pool, Orly's Stoves and Spas has something for everyone. Come in to ask us about our Orly's easy financing programs. And for those of you considering a wood or pellet stove for next season, come in to ask us about our current 30% tax credit on qualifying wood stoves, pellet stoves, and installation. Orly's Stoves and Spas at the corner of Delta Waters and Crater Lake Highway. Or find us online at Orly's.com or at 541-779-5340.
Hey, it's all fireworks and forage and 4th of July here at Butler Ford and Truck Center in Ashland. Joel here for our giant 4th of July sale. I still have a few Ford F-150s for only $445 a month. Tow your boat or camper this summer with a new Ford F-150 and pay only $445 a month. Butler Ford also has 2.9% financing lined up on our Ford Escapes. Not for 48 months, not for 60 months, but 72 months financing at 2.9. If I had more time, I'd tell you about the low payments and low rates we also have on our Ford Edges, Broncos, Mach-E's, well, everything on the lot. Butler says yes to $445 a month on a new F-150. Butler says yes to 2.9% financing for 72 months. Butler says yes to big 4th of July sale discounts. Butler Ford and Truck Center, just 12 short minutes south of Medford, right off of exit 19, where you already know. We got your truck, SUV, certified pre-owned, hybrid, and EV.
36-month lease payments at 7,500 miles per year with 7,500 cash or trade due at signing, excluding tax, license, title, and 250 dealer.fee with vehicle cap cost of $42,884. 72-month payments of $15.15 per thousand finance. All financing on approved credit.
1954, 70 years ago, first children to receive the Salk's polio vaccine. The number three song of the day, the crew cut Shaboom. Meantime, store number three for Grover was next to open. Grover Electric and Plumbing in Grants Pass, Oregon, welcoming do-it-yourselfers and contractors with a promise of superior service, quality products, and everyday low prices. Grover celebrates 70 years of do-it-yourself and save. For a location near you, visit groverelectric.com.
106.3 KMED, and this is the Bill Myers Show.
And by the way, this portion of the program is sponsored by Valley View Nursery, the only nursery with online pricing. Go to valleyviewnursery.com and check it out. Only local nursery does that, and they are closer than you think. Valley View Nursery, okay? It's 8:42, and the Diner 62 quiz for today, July 12th, 1933 is what we're talking about, and Vicky in the Applegate is first up. Hello, Vicky.
Hi, how are you, Bill?
I'm doing great, Vicky. You'd like to be a winner on this one. I don't know if you have ever heard, have you ever heard of the Dymaxion car? The Dymaxion car?
Is that the one that's all weird-shaped?
Yes, it is. In fact, I'm going to hold it up to the Facebook Live. It looks like a teardrop. It was a three-wheeled car, right?
Uh-huh.
And it was designed by the architect, engineer, and philosopher Buckminster Fuller. And the first one of these was built in Bridgeport, Connecticut today in 1933. It, by the way, it was Fuller's 38th birthday. Along with the Nazi-built forerunner of the Volkswagen Beetle, the Dymaxion, one of several futuristic rear-engine cars developed in the 1930s. And in 1927, Fuller first sketched it out. And then 5 years later, Fuller asked his friend, the sculptor Isamu Noguchi, to make more sketches of the car. So they wanted to make it look pretty cool, right? So they get this teardrop-shaped car, a rear third wheel that lifted off the ground, and also a tail fin. And Fuller set up the production in a former locomobile factory. That was another car manufacturer. Had a steel chassis, was able to get up to 120 miles an hour, pretty impressive in 1933. It got 28 miles per gallon, and it carried 11 passengers. And the first one was sold to the Gulf Oil Company. And the Dymaxion car went on display at the Century of Progress in Chicago that October. So the question for you this morning, Vicky in the Applegate, how many original Dymaxions survive today? Is it A, 0, B, 1, C, 3, D, 5, or E, 7? How many of these Dymaxion teardrop, kind of a cool-looking car, how many still exist?
I'm going to say 3.
You're going to say 3. Going right in the middle. I was hoping for you, but no, sorry. Wasn't that way.
Okay.
Thanks. Let's go to, is it Tana, right? Or Tana or Tana? How you doing?
Tana. Yeah, I'm good.
All right. Now, how many of these original teardrop cars, pretty revolutionary, still exist? 0, 1, 5, or 7? How many still exist?
I'd say 1.
You would say 1, and I would say...
You're a winner!
Yeah, you got it. You got it. And one of the 3 original prototypes still survives. 2 replicas have been constructed at that point. And what happened, though, is that they had a professional driver named Francis Turner who died after the Dymaxion car overturned during a demonstration. And it was kind of unstable. You know, you got the 3-wheel thing, you know, going on, and it rolled over. But the public really got into accepting streamlined cars, that they became kind of a big thing in the 1930s, early 1940s, that sort of thing. So you're going to Diner 62. You feel pretty good about that, I hope. All right.
Wow. Thank you. Yeah.
Okay. You're going to eat well. By the way, today is Clam Chowder Friday at Diner 62. So good, you'll hear the surf and the seagulls. You hold the cup up to your ear and whatever seagulls sound like. I don't know. By the way, they still have that 2 pork chop and eggs, 8-ounce New York steak and eggs on special right now on the weekend. So check that out, Diner 62, just south of White City.
This hour of the Bill Myers Show is brought to you by Johnson Builders, Southern Oregon's leading authority on post-frame and steel buildings for over 20 years.
Whether you need a weathertight garage for your vehicles and toys, a functional workshop, an ideal barn for your horses, or an oversized covered riding arena, Johnson Builders has you covered. Choose from a variety of maintenance-free colors, warranted steel panel roofing and siding options, plus alternative finishes like stone, brick, or wood siding to match your aesthetic and functional requirements. Roofing material options, too. Visit Johnson.Builders.
Johnson Builders, building for your future.
Hi, this is Dwayne Barkley, owner at American Rentier Garage, a full-service auto repair shop. We get numerous questions that begin with, hey, do you work on? So to put it simply, if it's between your license plates, we probably work on that. Call, stop by, or text us through our website at AmericanRentier.com. Stop by Biddle Road, right across the street from Elmer's, or call us at 541-499-6673. American Rentier Garage, we are united through service.
One of each, Forte VIN 800413 MSRP 21645, Sol VIN 918111 MSRP 21865, 3699 due 10K miles per year, zero security deposit, all incentives and discounts to dealer, plus tax, title, license, 150 registration, processing fee. Trading in a vehicle will not eliminate your debt. Negative equity applied to new loan balance, N 73124.
The summer of savings is here with new Kias from $139 a month at Kia Medford. Now is the best time to get into a new Kia. Shop our huge selection and save. Get a new 2024 Kia Forte LXS for a new 2024 Kia Soul LX, just $139 a month lease, both for 24 months. Plus, once we make a deal at Kia Medford, we'll pay off your trade no matter how much you owe. Need credit? Go to KiaMedford.com to get pre-approved in less than 30 seconds with no effect on your credit score. Then find a Kia you really want, like new Fortes or Souls, just $139 a month. Don't miss the summer of savings going on right now at Kia Medford. Click KiaMedford.com.
The Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMET.
Oh, might help if I turn my microphone on. It's been a busy morning, huh? Join in at 770-563-3, 770-KMET. My email, Bill at BillMyersShow.com. We'll try to squeeze in some emails of the day and more here in just a bit. Let me go to Brian. Brian, you wanted to weigh in on the homeless conversation I was having with Richard Emmons and more. Go ahead. I'd like to hear it.
Yes, Bill, I'm very grateful that you had Richard on this morning. I was sitting near him in the council meeting. I am one of the founders and one of the active members of Park Watch. And my 90 seconds, which, you know, they censored it way down, so we only had 90 seconds to say what we want to say, and there was over 100 people at the meeting, was basically... You know, Park Watch goes to every park every week, and we call the police every single week, sometimes multiple times during the week. I was approached by the coaches and some of the parents at Three Rivers Little League, and they use Morrison Park three nights a week. It's over now as of last week, to practice and to play their baseball games. These are little children playing baseball. And so we go over an hour, half an hour before the kids show up. And what we have to deal with is absolutely unbelievable.
What kind of chaos is going on there, Brian?
Well, first of all, there's most of our parks have a concrete men and women's bathroom. That bathroom, both men and women, is now a drug center. The meth smoking in the men's bathroom and the foil all over the floor and heroin needles laying all over the counter. And then we have children coming in a half an hour. We have to clean all that up ourselves and run these junkies out of the room. We call the police several times a week to deal with this.
How do police respond when you call them about these issues? Do they respond or not?
Yes, they get over there right away. I'm in communication. I take photographs of everything I see. I send them to Chief Hensman, and he has made it a higher priority in Morrison Park to get a couple of police officers there the minute we call, because he knows what the outcome is. But part of my 92nd Wednesday night at the city council meeting, this is the one Richard was talking about, I said to the council, this is from the parents and the coaches of Little League, that this is child endangerment, and the city needs to be sued for child endangerment.
And perhaps that is the, you know, if you're going to have the homeless rackets, and I call them the homeless rackets, essentially get in there and perform lawfare on the people and do everything to take the legal system and take the parks away from the people and turn them over to the homeless. Well, two can play that game. You know, you just go back there and attack it. That could be the most proper way to respond to this. All right, City of Grants Pass, if you're worrying about litigation, worry about litigation to from the people who actually aren't crapping up your parks. You know, worry about that litigation. You know?
A month ago, during their baseball game, there's a dead OD'd man in a tent. The parents had to completely block the vision of all the children playing baseball from them from the corner taking out a dead man out of a tent just 30 feet away from the dugout.
All right.
This is why these parents of these little kids and these coaches have had enough. They're done. That there's got to be a solution, and all we get from Sarah Bristol, our mayor, is there's nothing we can do. There's nothing we can do, and it goes on and on and on.
I appreciate the call, and something tells me that their tail feathers are being singed right now here, Brian. Appreciate the call, okay? 770-5633. Let me go to Vicki. Vicki, I know you played the quiz, but you actually called in to talk about this issue. Go ahead.
Yeah, I did. I just had a thought, Bill. You know, they make gated communities to keep out riffraff and desirable people and keep their little communities safe. Why don't they do something like that with the parks? And why don't they hire, between 3 and 5 people, depending on the size of the park, to enforce that the homeless not be allowed in? I mean, put fencing up if you have to. Have somebody there that can judge whether this person is a family with children or a grandma or grandpa that wants to bring their grandkids to the park, and be able to let them in and let them out, and, you know, just make it like a gated community.
I don't know if you could do that. Because publicly accessible property is publicly accessible property. But there is a germ of what you're talking about has been discussed by others, in which instead of having your public parks be public parks, that they be turned over to an organization that will manage the parks and then be able to run it. In other words, you lease them. You lease them to an organization that will run it and run it responsibly, and hence would be able to apply such rules to it. I think as long as it's considered just public, it's probably not going to fly legally. But the point,
and yeah, because you know, up here, anytime you want to go camping, you have to pay a fee. You also have have somebody that's on, you know, in the campground 24/7, winter and spring, summer, fall, to monitor who's, you know, the activity that's going on in there. Although, you know, it's a big, like, Applegate Lake. You go up, there's trash everywhere, broken bottles everywhere, just refrigerators and washers and dryers and leftover camps from people that either got, you know, ran out for some reason or just abandoned their stuff. So I know that it's going to take a lot of planning, but I just feel like, especially for like the baseball games, you know, for the kids or soccer, to have it more like a gated community where they have, you know, security of some kind. Just, and it's child endangerment, like you said. Just a public person that wants to go in. I get that it's a public place, but these are not just regular public people going in.
Agreed. Vicki, I appreciate the call. All right. 770-5633. We'll try to squeeze a few more here in just a moment. Okay. It's been some pretty heavy duty conversation. All right. So we need a dad joke. That's what I was searching for. I had my dad joke. I didn't have my list of dad jokes because I'm not really all that much of a jokester here. But dad jokes of the day are sponsored by Two Dogs Fabricating on Bryan Way off of Sage Road in Medford, all right? And they are your exclusive North Star dealer. Also, TDF can do any hitch or tongue repair for this camping season, or maybe you need some fire response equipment repaired and things like that. They do all that kind of work. Local dealer for Iron Bull trailers made by North Star. And they have a new line of North Star trailer and Delco trailers, too. And that's Bryan Way off Sage Road in Medford. So today's dad joke, how many tickles does it take to make an octopus laugh? How many tickles does it take to make an octopus laugh? 10 tickles. Okay.
Dreaming of moving to your dream property in the county? Most rural properties rely on a well. Plowser Drilling is here to make sure your dream doesn't turn into a nightmare. Before you buy, you'll want to make sure the well is producing plenty of water. If a new well is needed, making sure the property has good water is vital. Plowser Drilling can help. They have drilled thousands of wells in Southern Oregon and can help you make an informed decision. Plowser Drilling can perform research, schedule an on-site visit, and provide free estimates based on your area. Visit Plowser Drilling.
This is Bill Meyer from my friend Steve Yancey, an independent insurance agent at Sky Park Insurance. Actually, it's an independent agency. And it's interesting recently how the Federal Reserve said inflation has cooled. Now, this doesn't mean that the prices have gone in reverse and all of a sudden you see the prices that went up 10, 20, 25%, like a lot of insurance companies have been charging people. It's not exactly like they're reversing course. You need a friend to help navigate this. It's not unusual to see renewal rates of 10, 15, 20 or more. Like I said, Steve Yancey is here to help because he's an independent insurance agent. He doesn't work with just one company. He works with many companies. And many listeners from 99.3 KBXG and 106.3 KMED have saved lots of money with him over the years. All you have to do is just call him. It's pretty simple. You also go on the web, too, skyparkins.com. But call him at 261-5444, 261-5444, and see what Steve can do for you at Sky Park.
At Sky Park, we make insurance easy.
Ready to upgrade your roof to a durable, sleek metal option? Look no further than Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc. With our state-of-the-art snap-lock machines, we bring precise and efficiency right to your doorstep. No need to worry about transporting materials. We come directly to your project property. Visit StephenWestfallRoofingInc.com and discover the ease of quality of metal roofing done right. Transform your home with Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc. Call today, get an estimate tomorrow. 541-941-3736.
Does your property have adequate, defensible space for fire season? Hi, this is Jeff with Quality Tree Service. Fire officials are again urging property owners to maintain a buffer clear of brush, low-hanging branches, and other flammable material. At Quality Tree Service, we can visit your property and recommend trimming, brush clearing, and tree removal if necessary to help provide fire protection for your home and outbuildings. Call me today for a thorough inspection and no-obligation quote. Visit QualityTreeServiceMedford.com.
Oregon Truck and Auto Authority is your tonneau cover source. Tonneau covers are a great way to secure and protect the cargo in your bed from the elements. Styles from Truck Gear, Mack Industries, Undercover, and more. Oregon Truck and Auto Authority. your one-stop accessory and protection shop.
Hi, I'm Charlene, owner of American Industrial Door, and I'm on 106.7 KMED.
Gold over $2,400 an ounce right now. Yep, and we're trading back above that. It's like 2407 earlier this morning when I was waking up there. And I don't know, maybe 2400 is the new 2000. 2000 used to be the, oh my gosh, everything was, you know, boy, can gold go over 2000? Then it broke through, just blew through it. Maybe 2400 is the new 2000. But the one thing is for sure, preserving wealth is what it is doing right now. And if you haven't got your gold yet from J. Austin & Company, Gold and Silver Buyers in Ashland, 1632 Ashland Street and 6th and G in downtown Grants Pass, well, what are you waiting for? You can call 482-3715. Long-time track record of physical gold protecting wealth. Protecting wealth. Not about making money on capital, just hoping you can get your capital returned. You know, that's kind of the world that we could be looking at right now. So think about that and talk with Jay Austin. 1632 Ashland Street, 6th and G, 482-3715. JayAustinBrokers.com, GrantsPassCoins.com, FortuneReserve.com. You can go there today and talk about it. Or maybe you're looking at 2400 as the time to sell. Either way, they'll help you at Jay Austin. Let me go to Lauren. Lauren, you wanted to talk about the president and the press conference yesterday. That was pretty rough. Pretty rough.
I was actually surprised that he did as well as he did. I was wondering also, since they had all the, they knew who was, what reporters were going to ask questions, did they have the questions ahead of time too? You know, they're supposed to be on the off the cuff, right? And I think it was all set up even then to prepare him. And I thought he did better than I thought he would, but I also saw the flaws that he needs to get. I want him in there. I want him in there till the final vote is cast in November, and because I'm pretty sure what will happen.
Yeah, if the country can survive that, though, Lauren, if we had people in the Democratic Party that were actually looking out for the country, I think he would have been ushered off the stage maybe 2 years ago, maybe more. Let me go to Gary. Hello, Gary. You wanted to talk about Buckminster Fuller. That was our Diner 62 quiz. Go ahead.
Yeah, Buckminster Fuller was probably the most famous man I ever met. I was going to school, architecture school at University of Oregon in the early 70s, and he was visiting a professor that was there, and the guy is amazing. But his most amazing thing was not his car, but it was his math that put together the geodesic dome systems.
That's right. He's the one that really came up with that, right?
Oh yeah. If you look at the math and figure out the struts and the links and all that to make not only a circular dome, but parabolic domes and stuff. And he put all that stuff together. I was just amazed about this guy. And he was in his 90s, I think, at that time. Mm-hmm. You brought back some nostalgia there that I just couldn't believe.
Glad we could do that for you. Gary, thanks so much for the call, okay? We're going to do more emails on Monday because we're just running out of time. It was a great morning. But emails of the day sponsored by Dr. Steve Nelson, Central Point Family Dentistry, centralpointfamilydentistry.com. And I'm going to give one to Hans Albuquerque. Bill, as the Fed is poised to possibly drop interest rates a touch, the elite's trying to prop up the idea that the economy isn't as bad as we knuckle-draggers say it is. But the whole idea behind rate hikes, is to crash the quote-unquote economy to justify lower rates again. So once you have the economy gasping for air, you can't come out and say, see, it isn't so bad after all. It's like Monty Python's famous Black Knight. It's just a flesh wound. A flesh wound. Yeah, that's all. Hans, I appreciate you writing. And you can write too. Email bill@billmeyershow.com. We'll dig into some more of those, a lot of them, Monday morning, okay?
Hey, it's all fireworks and forage and 4th of July here at Butler Ford and Truck Center in Ashland. Joel here for our...